I'd like to begin this message today by asking you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Scott, in reading about the proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, mentioned something I actually want to pick up here in Scripture, because this is something that God wrote to us about long ago, and it's a tendency that's in humankind that when we are blessed, we have a tendency to forget from where our blessings come. And it's interesting here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says in verse 7, "The Lord your God," this is Deuteronomy 8 and verse 7, "The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper." And what's amazing when we look back at the story of the pilgrims and the wanting to come to this land, they came to a land that was not prepared necessarily for them. It was a wilderness. But you realize that we've grown up in this place. This land that was prepared, you realize the river system that's in North America is just really unlike any place else. The amount of water and springs and freshness, the amount of oil and gold and silver and copper, the amount of land to grow produce, unlike anywhere in the world. There's a reason why Japan and China and places around the world are taking our produce, because we have a way to grow it at times of the year. Nobody else really does. It's amazing the blessings that we've come into in this land, and there are so many parallels that go along with these verses that God is giving to the Israelites that come with us. And notice, so he says in verse 10, "So when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God." Beware that you do not forget. Abraham Lincoln said, we're prone to forget the blessings of God. We're prone to do it. We're prone to take for granted the things that God has given us. And so it is a blessing that we live in a country where those who came over said they did it for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. It was right in what they wrote. We come here in the Mayflower Compact for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. You don't always find that in your school books, but if you look at the full true text, you can find it online. It's there. They came here with a Christian purpose and a Christian mission, and they had God in their heart and in their mind and what they wanted to establish here when they came to North America. And giving thanks is so important. In fact, I will tell you that to have a life of peace, to have a life of joy, to have a life of satisfaction requires us to be thankful. It requires us to be thankful. Turn with me now to the book of Romans. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. In verse 20 it says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen." Isn't that awesome? We know our Creator by the things He's created. Everything that He has made demonstrates something about God. The more we study and look at the creation, the more we understand the way the Creator works. How vast His mind is. How awesome and incredible our God is. "So His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful." They didn't glorify Him as God, and they weren't thankful. They didn't see God's hand in the things of their lives. And when you don't see God's hand in the things in your life, you're going to not be thankful. Now, when we come to this time of year and we think about Thanksgiving, it's not just something that should be done once a year. It's something that is a part of our life that should be done all the time. The giving of thanks to God, because we see His hand in our life. Because we see who He is. We see what He's doing. And everything in life gets shaped by an attitude of either thankfulness, where you acknowledge God, or of entitlement and complaining because you don't see Him. It permeates every part of your life. Whether you appreciate or whether you don't. Whether you're thankful for something or someone or you don't. Everything in life is affected by this. And notice what it says here. He says, "Because they did not glorify Him as God nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts." They became futile in their thoughts. That is what happens when we fail to look at God and see His hand in things, and we fail to appreciate who God is and what He's doing for us. We become futile in our thoughts. So they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what is it to give thanks? You know, the word think and thank basically have the same origin in English. They have the same root. Because when you go to thank somebody, really what you're doing is you're stopping to think and appreciate that person or what that person has done or how what they have done is affecting in your life. You're thinking about someone or something that's happening and that pours forth with thanks. The sorrow that is faced here in Romans 1 is that when we stop thinking about God, we stop thinking, we are going to stop thanking. All it takes for us to get in a heart of thankfulness to God is simply stop and think about who God is and what He's doing. How can we spend any time focusing on God and not have our heart become thankful? See, in itself, thinking about God and becoming thankful is at the very core of what God wants from us, of what He sees in our lives, because in it, there is a humility to say, You're God, I'm not. You created these things, not me. I am here at Your good pleasure. I didn't make myself. And that reality changes everything in our lives. That thankfulness to think on God, to be humble before Him and to appreciate who He is. Being thankful is one of the most beautiful and simple things of worship that we do. And when our hearts are filled with thinking about God, our hearts are filled with gratitude and thankfulness. We appreciate who God is. And when we do that, we are not futile in our thoughts, nor do our hearts become darkened. Because the most elemental truth in life is there is a God, and He loves you, and He is very concerned about what's going on in your life. And when you live with that perspective of gratitude and thankfulness and appreciation, your whole life has changed. Your outlook on everything has changed. The way you treat people is changed because you think, and you think, and you appreciate why you're here. And you appreciate what God is doing. And you appreciate the people that God has put in your life. It changes everything. Turn with me now to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. You know, in our lives, we face many things. We face wonderful blessings. And we face trials. We face hardships. Things don't always go right. Either we sin and we have issues. People sin against us and we have issues. Or there's just issues. Notice this in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Joe's been sick for 4 weeks. We put that into God's hands. We don't want to be anxious in that because we know who our God is. And we put that life and that health in His hands. So He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So being thankful, as I said, is a part of worship. But it's the essence of faith in your life to be able to be thankful and to not be anxious for what you want, but to be content before God for the things that you ask for. Because what you're really saying when you're making your request known to God and you're thankful, God, what do you see that's best? This is what I want. Right? What happens if you give a child every single thing they want? Generally, they become spoiled, right? They become holy terrors. Terrorists. Okay. Terrorists of the little people, right? The little people. The thing about life and what God did, even when He brought the children of Israel out in the wilderness, as we We didn't read in Deuteronomy 8, but it's spoken of there. He said, before I'm going to bring you into this great place, I'm going to humble you and test you and try you to see what's in your heart. Because if I just keep giving you everything that I am capable of giving you, and I just give it to you right away, I'm going to spoil you rotten. Because everything's mine. I can give you the best houses, the best water. I can give you all the gold, copper, and silver that you want. I can give you the best of everything. But if your heart is not humbled, then you're going to just forget. You're going to somehow think you did this. You're going to forget about me. You're going to walk away from me. You're going to stop worshiping me. And that's going to lead you back into bondage. That's going to lead you the exact wrong place. So the thing you thought you wanted, and I got to have it, can actually lead you right back to the bondage that God brings you out of. Do you want anything in your life that God says isn't good? When you stop yourself and you make your request known to God with thanksgiving, what you're saying to God is, thank you that I can hand this into your hands and know you're going to take care of it. I can trust you. I have faith in who you are, that you love me, that you care about me, that you're totally committed to my good and my end, that you want to bring something about. Can you live with that? Friends, can you live with that? Can you live with allowing God to grant to you as He sees fit in your life? That when you make your request known, that you do it with thanksgiving, thanking God for either having it or not having it, thanking God for what He's given and what He's blessed you with, thanking God because you know He'll give you what you need, and what you're doing is humbling yourself before His greatness and saying, as you will it. As you will it. It's this topic of thanksgiving. It's more than just saying a word of thank you. It's more than just thanking God for something that you got or that you received. It is an attitude of life of appreciation for God and His unending and unconquerable love. That you trust His love. That you trust His commitment. That you have this perfection and relationship. Or God, with what you have, it's good for me. And it changes everything. Giving thanks is not just something that we do in response to what we get in life. Giving thanks is what we do because God is in our life. He's in our lives. As much as we want Him to be, He is so near. He's in our mouth and in our heart. The Word is there. Draw near to Him and He will be with you. And He will not leave you nor forsake you. That faith leads to thanksgiving that creates the real blessings in life. It's more than an evaluation of circumstances. It's your estimation and appreciation of who God is. And as He wills it, we are good with it. So the question of thankfulness to God is really a question of our appreciation for God in everything. Is God everything in everything? So turn with me over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Notice this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. God is so good.
All the time.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, rejoice always, praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If I asked you what's the will of God, would that be one of the first things you'd say? To rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything to give thanks? But that is recorded for us. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. It's His will that this is the way we live our lives. So that in everything, giving thanks is less about the things that happen in life. It's less than the gifts we receive. It is about being alive and knowing who it all comes from. It's everything. It's everything. See, if we're waiting for our circumstances to make us good, if we're waiting for that, then we're simply responding to it. Thanksgiving is a way of life that we live because we know God is in our lives. So that when we face the hardships, when we face the trials, we're not all a mess. It says in Psalm 112, a good man does not fear getting bad news. A good man does not fear getting bad news. Why wouldn't a good man fear getting bad news? Because of God. Because he's living in an attitude appreciating that God is in his life. So when he gets the bad news, how big can the bad news to overcome God's place in your relationship with him and in your life? I admit, I'm bad at this sometimes. I mean, I can get really bad. God gave me a good wife who can listen to me through a lot of things that I go through when I get trials and tribulations and different things that happen. This week, I actually had a very serious thing kind of happen, and not kind of happen, it did happen. And it was distressing because it looked like it was going to be a situation of my word versus somebody else's. And if they believed him, it was going to be very bad for me. It was going to have a severe impact on my company. And, you know, I vented and I was wondering and I was pondering and I was praying. And through the cause of prayer, I just love how God just starts to bless you with mercy when you go to him in your time of need. And he starts to give you comfort. And you get comfort from beautiful people like your wife. And there's just this encouragement to listen and to go through it. And what God does in the midst of trial is he gets you thanking him for the trial. Because every obstacle we face is an opportunity for God to show up in some amazing way. Some amazing way. And so the day went from feeling disastrous, feeling like, what do I do, to having confidence before the Lord at the night. And it had nothing to do with me or my flesh. My flesh was anxious. But he says, be anxious in nothing. Then this must be for my good. How, God, are you going to work this out for me? God, how are you going to be God? Because isn't that what you desire in your life, that God would be God? And isn't it awesome that God says that he goes forth, his eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him? See, I dig that about God. That's why I'm here, guys. I dig God. He is awesome. He's like, who wants to follow a way of love? Who wants to follow a way of life? Who wants to do things that make for right? Take me, Lord! Take me. Because when God is on your side, what else is there? The whole of world can go away. But if God is on your side, you stand. So you face the trial. That night, I was feeling sorrowful and desperate, and I turned into thankful and positive by the Spirit of God. It just took stopping what I was doing and going to him. Having a conversation with him. Receiving reassurance from him. So if you're asking, well, how do I become a thankful person, David? I get it. I want to be thankful. I want to be humble. I want to be faithful. Stop what you're doing and pray. Stop what you're doing and pray. Just look at him. Gaze upon the glory of God. See the greatness of who he is. And you're going to be changed by it. You cannot be the same in the presence of God. Your flesh will start to be torn down and your spirit will be lifted up. Because God is faithful. He is awesome to those who seek him. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you forsake me, I'll forsake you. Who wants to be in that position? None of us, right? We're here because we realize forsaking God doesn't work. Not having God in life doesn't work. So we seek him, and he's the one who does these amazing things. He takes our attitude from anxiousness and worry and doubt and fear. And he's like, I'm right here. I'm right here for you. Do you know what God's attitude is towards you? How can I help you be the person I made you to be? What can I do? And see, what we have to do is just say, I'm in, God. Jump into the pool of his mercy. Jump into the rivers of life. And let him bring you out. I was worried as I was when I left work that day, and my employees were, oh, this is bad, and everything's going on. The next day, I just felt ready to conquer the world. Nothing changed in my circumstance. Nothing at all. It was just a deeper revelation of God that took away that fear, that anxiousness. And what's so amazing was that in a matter of hours, with this invigorated attitude and spirit from the Lord God Almighty, He said, here's your evidence, here's your proof, here you go. I didn't see it the day before, but it was all there. Everything I needed, so that when somebody said I did something that I didn't do, I had direct, stated things that prove that I didn't do what He said. It was all there. I can say, well, David, you didn't see it the day before. I was all there yesterday. Something about that spirit of thankfulness with God that changes the heart and approach, that even in the same circumstances, in the same factual conditions, changes everything. Things change because of God. Things change because of our appreciation of God. Again, in everything give thanks. Friends, I don't really think it's a matter of saying thank you for every bad thing that happens in life and looking at the situations and events and saying thank you for those things, as much as it is when you're going through the things, it's with a spirit of thanks and appreciation and faith that God is on your side. You know, when crimes happen, when bad things happen, God sees those things that come upon mankind. Where do we go? I'm so thankful, God, that You are in my life, because I don't know how I'd face this without You. Bad things do happen to good people. But good people are led not by what they see in the flesh and the circumstances of flesh, but all those things get addressed in the light of who God is. You have to think, who is my God? And in every trial and circumstance of life, He is building you up in your most holy faith to know Him and trust Him, that your heart would be knit to His. No one is more committed to you than God Almighty. God loves you. God can be trusted that He will always do what's right. And He will always be with you to the end. As much as you want Him to be, He is in all the way with you. He's in all the way with you. The question is, are we in all the way with Him? For the things that He's purposed, the things that He has done. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 records the timing and the events that took place on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. They were gathering together to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. Notice this in Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. When the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him, and He said to them, "With fervent desire I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And He took the cup and He gave thanks. He took the cup and He gave thanks. And said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say I will not drink of it until the kingdom of God comes." He took the bread and He gave thanks. And He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the cup also, "that this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you." But Jesus said, "It's with great desire I've desired to eat this Passover with you." What did this Passover mean for Jesus? Death, suffering. Jesus Christ, our Passover, was about to be sacrificed. Jesus Christ is there ready to make a sacrifice to God. And what's He do? He takes the cup, which represents what? His blood. His blood. And He takes the bread and He gives thanks. What does it represent? His body broken for you and me. He was giving thanks because what God was going to work out in that moment was in His broken body, our Father was going to lay all the sins of mankind upon Him. Through His whipping, the scourging, the mocking, the beating, the crowns on His head. And His blood was going to be poured forth. His life was going to be emptied. Now in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word emptied Himself of glory to come in flesh to die. Now on the scale of things, when you kind of contemplate life and where life is, wouldn't this be like one of the worst things that ever happened? That the Creator, the one through whom God made the heavens and the earth, and everything seen and unseen, would be put to death having done nothing wrong Himself. Was it just? Was it right? Did you say that was a good thing that happened? Do you know what's so amazing about thankfulness and appreciation? Is that in as much as it helps you in worshiping God and thinking about God, in as much as it builds faith in who God is, it gets your mind off yourself and onto what you are doing that affects other people. Thankfulness is having an appreciation for those outside of yourself. Whether it be God in heaven or the people that you know in your life. Jesus was giving thanks not because He was receiving this benefit, at least that night. He was thinking about you and me. That He had the right and the power to lay down His life for you and me. And the joy He would receive is that those of us who would accept this calling and accept this sacrifice would be part of His family. That He would usher us into a relationship with God our Father. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is ushering us up into the heavenly places with God Almighty that we can be called the children of God. And here He is, ready to go through this terrible ordeal in His life. The worst thing that He had experienced, His own creation, the ones He made, putting Him down, mocking Him, beating Him, stripping Him, and He's giving thanks for what He's about to do. Who is this God? Who is this God that we serve? Who is this God who loves us so much? In His sacrifice, He wasn't complaining about Himself and what He would have to endure for us to cover our sins. He was thanking God that He could. That His body broken, that His blood shed, was enough to reconcile all things in heaven and above and earth below, all things. He had the power to do it, and He did. See, when we have bad experiences in life, so often what happens when we have trials or we have personal issues, the thing that comes up is, rather than taking a position of humility, we often take a position of defense. We take a position of self-justification. I was right in this. I could do this. We want to build ourselves up. But where we find our victories are not in being boastful or proud. It's in the humility that we have before God. You are going to be in a position of strength. You are going to be in a position of strength in a relationship. Some of you will be a few times, some of you will be many times, maybe even most of the time in your life. The question is, will you use your power or your strength to humble yourself in service to another out of service to God with appreciation for them? Or will you use your power and strength for your own flesh, for your own salvation, so to speak, to win an argument, to win a fight, to have to be right? There's something about this appreciation There's something about this humility and this giving of thanks that humbles us even before each other, that allows us to be servants of others rather than seeking someone else to serve us. God says, esteem the interests of others greater than yourself. You know what that requires? Thinking about somebody else. You have to have thought about somebody else. But when somebody does something that you find offensive or hurtful, when someone does something that you find puts you off, it can actually change your attitude where you're not appreciating that person anymore. You're actually dealing out of anger or bitterness or resentment. And you realize once you do that, you've left a state of thanksgiving and thankfulness and appreciation for that person God made, and you've entered into a place where you now feel superior to that other person. You are right and they are wrong. It's very difficult to serve someone in that heart and that attitude. Having an appreciation for others. You can notice this with the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. When you are thankful for a person, how does it change your attitude toward them? When you're thankful for your wife or your husband, when you're thankful for your children. It was so beautiful to spend time here with Cindy Hartle when she was here, and I know I'm going to embarrass her talking about her, and Eric, and Ray, but we've been praying for their family. We've been praying specifically for Eric's healing from muscular dystrophy. God hasn't intervened in that disease. But what I find amazing in hearing her talk is how much God intervenes all the time in their lives. And how thankful and happy Eric is, though his life right now is spent in a wheelchair. And how much his parents love him and appreciate him. And Cindy just wanting to give her whole self to her son, saying, I wish I could just take this from him. And Eric, feeling so apologetic anytime he has to ask for help from his parents when he needs them to do it with all the needs that he has. What does God really want? See, when you look at the circumstances, you can get in a heart of complaining. You can say that doesn't seem right or fair or just. But what if what God really wants from you and me is to see if our hearts will be thankful, rejoicing, prayerful, loving, tender, giving, compassionate, long-suffering? Because if that's what God really wants, then what is happening in the Hartle's home is a sacrifice, an aroma that is floating up to the nostrils of God in heaven, and it is sweet. It's sweet. It is sweet. Sometimes the things that we pray for God to deliver us from are the very things needed to produce the sweet-smelling aromas in our lives. We're trying to win it here in the flesh. We're trying to win the battle in this age. And believe me, God gives us plenty of those. I can go on and on. I could spend all day telling you of the things that God has done for me in my life here on this earth. But let those victories be laid aside if there wasn't something more deep, true, and spiritual going on in every one of them. Because God is training us to know what's in our hearts that we may spend eternity with Him. This life is but a whisper and a vapor. To prove and try what is in our hearts. So whether you are blessed and abounding, remember God. Whether you're going through trials and hardships, remember God. And in all things, live in a state of appreciation, thoughtfulness for God, thanking Him for every moment and what He is working in our lives. It goes beyond the circumstances. It goes to who God is and who God is making us to be, creating us in the image of His Son, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when you have that life of appreciation, you say, God, be merciful, be gentle with me. But do what you need to do. Because better that I suffer in this age, that I may be glorified with you in the age to come. What does he say in Romans 8? The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is the God we're serving. So with everything we go through, have appreciation. Paul, he was thinking about the people he was with, and he's thanking them. Thanking God for them. Ephesians 1. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love for all the saints. This is Ephesians 1, 15 to 16. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is the Apostle Paul thinking about these people in Corinth and in Ephesus. In Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Thinking about the saints, thinking about who he was there to serve and to help. Colossae, we give thanks to God the Father. This is Colossians 1, 3 to 4. Praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Thinking about them and offering thanks and praise to God. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 to 4. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Praying, giving thanks, because he knew who he was dealing with. 1 Thessalonians 2, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Isn't that beautiful? All these epistles. 1 Thessalonians 3, 9 and 10. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Giving thanks for them and desiring to be a blessing to them. We are bound to thank God always, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. Brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. Philemon 1, 4 to 6. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What do you think Paul's attitude is toward every church person in all these cities? When he's continuing to think about them, he's continuing to make mention of them, he's continuing to give thanks for them. What is his attitude toward people? See, he knew what his purpose was in life. He knew what his calling was as an apostle, in what he would do in service to others. Do you know, in some of these cities, there were people that did bad things toward Paul. There were even some who came into the body and were part of the faith who did bad things to Paul. But his attitude was of thanksgiving, because when he looked around at the people, he realized what we should all realize of one another. You were made by God for purpose. He has you here by His own good pleasure. You are the called of God. And in you is building a relationship with God that is so precious that we, when we see one another, should have the thanksgiving that God made you in His image and He wants to raise you up. And you see, if we're thankful and appreciative of what God is doing in other people's lives, we're going to be naturally appreciative of what we can do in their lives as well. Living with thanksgiving to God is saying, I appreciate you, Lynn, and what I want to give of myself to be a blessing to you. To you, Scott. Scott, what would we do without you? God be praised that He has blessed you with His Spirit, and we are here in this facility because He so led you and directed you and has given you a heart to work for His people.
And Carolyn, you too. And I look around this room. Stephanie, I just see the tireless efforts of people around this room coming here on all these different days and giving. Because they appreciate God and they appreciate what He's doing in people. And it changes everything. And when you're at work, if you work in any kind of service industry, I know a lot of us do in different ways, we work in service industries. When you are appreciative of the work you have and the clients you have, when they call with a problem, you are desirous to serve them. Because you're thankful for them. You're thankful for that person. But I notice that when people start working and they get frustrated in their jobs and they get frustrated in their work, when that same client calls and they're in that attitude, they're like, what do they want now? Appreciation and thankfulness has a spirit of humility and how can I serve you? A spirit of frustration, tiredness has a spirit of, what are you doing to me now? Now that happens at work and it's easy to see. You can go into a restaurant. I watch it all the time. People that are appreciative and want to serve you, man, they're great. And the people that don't care about you and aren't thinking about you, awful service. The more they're thankful for you, the better servant they are. The less they appreciate you, the worse servant they are. Do you think this is a law that applies everywhere? Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. If you appreciate your wife, you will tend toward loving her. If you don't and are resentful and bitter, not so much. Wives, see that you respect your husbands. Submit to them as the church does to the Lord. If you appreciate your husband, you're going to have that course in your life. You in the front, just turn around and look at the people in this room. Just turn around, look at each other for a second. These are people made in God's image. These are people made in God's image. Some of these people you know, maybe some of them you don't know. The question is, when you look at the people in this room, do you appreciate them for who they are? Who God made them to be? So your job as a God-fearing person, one who has come to Christ, is to look at the people in the room and say, how can I serve you and help you and encourage you in your faith? Just like we read about Paul. If you're having trouble with anybody in this room, pray for that person. Thank God for that person. Thank God for that person. And ask God to help you see them the way He does. And ask God to help you in your relationship with that person. And ask God to be in it. And to bless it. See where strife and envy and backbiting and gossip come from? It comes from somebody not really thinking about that person. That person is made in the image of God. If God came down and said, Chauncey is my son and I love him. I want you to love and take care of Chauncey. When he's going through things, I want you to be there. And if he has some zany idea sometime, it's all right. This is just in general. I'm not saying specifically. When God tells you how He feels about Chauncey, how do you feel about Chauncey? If you care what God thinks at all, and God says, I love Chauncey, and I know God does love you, Chauncey, that affects everything in the way I treat Chauncey. Everything. When you parents look at your children, and you realize they're just little creatures that God has given you. Parents, you're just caretakers for a little while. You realize that. You're just caretakers of God's children. You are caretakers of them. When you look at your children, in order to be a great parent, you must have one thing in your heart. That child is God's. I need to treat him as such. My job is not to get frustrated with him. My job is to be a servant for their end of godliness in whatever way I can. We got to be thankful for them. Appreciate your kids. Appreciate the people in your life. Children, appreciate your parents. Realize the sacrifices that have been made since your beginning. Realize what mom and dad have gone through to make you, to bless you and support you. Because children, if you are thankful for your parents, it's going to change everything in the way that you think about your parents and who they are and the role that God has put them into in your life. But if there's always animosity with the children, with the parents, and the parents with the kids, stop the madness. And remember who you are. Remember why God put you together. And in these things, whether it's in our marriages, or in our friendships, or in our with our relationships with our children, our parents, or our siblings, the relationships that we have at work, with people that we work for, people who work for us, remember what we're here doing. And what this requires is thinking. It requires remembering. It requires appreciating what's happening on this earth. Praise be to God for His indescribable gift, for the grace that He has put upon us and the love that He has shown us. Praise God and give Him thanks for all His goodness, and may His tender mercies be upon you. And may you receive His tender mercies and appreciate His tender mercies, that in all your dealings with one another, you and I can deal with one another with that same graciousness that we have been afforded. God loves you. God loves the people in this room. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Be ready to help in that cause. And remember, just like with Paul, he gave thanks. It didn't mean he didn't tell them the truth. He didn't stop preaching the word. He still corrected and exhorted when he needed to. But his attitude was done in a spirit of thanks, appreciation for the person and what was trying to be accomplished in the person, not just to go off in the flesh on somebody who wasn't getting it right. The way the gospel should always be delivered is in a spirit of love for the person you're giving it to. The way His word should be delivered is with love for one another, seasoned with that mercy and that grace that God gives us. Friends, we have so much to be thankful for. We serve such a great God. And it's a privilege and an honor to know You. And I pray that we would just continue in a mind of thanks. I thank God for this building, because what will happen here will be worship and the continued praise and thanks of God. As we have this potluck here today, I would ask at some point, you personally come into this room and just offer up thanks to God. As we celebrate and remember Thanksgiving, let's have this dedication of this facility continue with just filling this place with your personal thanks to God. Whether it be one or two or three sentences, or you have a whole lot to thank God for. Whatever you want to say, but sometime during this day and this potluck, come to this room alone and just make a place of prayer and a place of giving thanks to the Almighty who gives us so many blessings. May God bless us, and may we celebrate and rejoice as we share this meal together. Let's worship Him.